Going into the wet season, the April, May, June period, we were quite concerned that there were 3.2 million people in the integrated phase classifications 4 and 5. That is a very acute level of food insecurity. To put it in perspective, in the Somalia famine in 2011, half of the deaths occurred when people were still in IPC 3 and 4. The government of South Sudan released the integrated phase classification results today, and the decline in that population in IPC 3 and 4 is striking. The forecast now is once the harvest comes in November, that by December we'll go from 3.5 million people in IPC 3 and 4 down to 1.5 million in IPC 3 and 4. And so it's fair to say that the efforts of the South Sudanese, combined with the efforts of the humanitarians, have pulled back 2 million people from extreme levels of food insecurity and also from that brink of famine.
What can we attribute to this progress?
Well, part of it is seasonality. We don't normally see the worst of the food insecurity in the wet season because South Sudan turns into the world's largest swamp. And with the swamps come fish, come wild food, come lotus roots and the wild grasses. The problem comes when the dry season comes and the rivers literally dry up. The swamp dries up. And with it, you lose the fish, the wild foods. And also, it's pretty hard to fight large-scale conflict in wet seasons. So we have hope that the current peace discussions that are happening in Ethiopia under the auspices of IGAD are successful. But I think there's a lot of concern that the dry season could see continued fighting. We have fighting in South Sudan today. So I think the way to look at this progress is to describe it as fragile, partial, temporary, and frankly, very expensive.
What are the challenges?
We have had phenomenal donor response. We've mobilized $60 million in humanitarian resources, but we've also seen our development portfolio expand. And so my team right now are literally delivering at 10 times the rate of last year. We've been very lucky not to lose any of our staff, but staff have certainly lost their homes and family members. It's been terrible. So it's not just the money, but it's also the operating environment.
You're also competing with a number of other crises currently happening around the world. How does that affect your mission?
That's an excellent question. I don't think I'm competing with other crises as much as we're all competing for the compassion of the world. The way the world is going right now requires a new look at our ability to be compassionate. I think that's the competition. And so I was just in Washington, D.C. and in New York, where I became even more aware of the competing demands on donors, but also the competing demands on managers and institutions like FAO. But I have confidence that this rather terrible time will also lead to reforms in some ways, reforms in the way that we finance and reforms in the way that we as implementers perform.
In terms of the agricultural sectors and food production, what will FAO be monitoring or focusing on in the coming months?
Well, right now, our largest development programs are about agriculture and food security information. It's funded by the European Union and the Australian government, a fabulous program. And it builds on earlier investments in food security information and analysis in South Sudan. And those early development investments are why I can even tell you how many people are in each of the IPC classifications today. So that process continues, even though our government counterparts are greatly stressed by the current crisis. And sadly, the diversion of resources over to security priorities, in addition to the fact that there are parts of the country where the government isn't working. Those are all challenges. Notwithstanding, we have already done the land preparation assessments. We've done the planting assessments, mid-season assessments. And of course, we'll watch at the end of the harvest and try and estimate production. That's our short-term priority.
Do you feel positive about the coming months?
I've worked on South Sudan off and on since 1991. This is a place that so many people, once they start working there, can never really escape. And it always brings you back because the people of South Sudan are truly remarkable in that I don't know how they've survived 50 years of war, a six-year comprehensive peace, 3 years of independence, a new war, and yet there is still such a determination to eventually see the world's youngest country transform from where it is today to a fundamentally wealthy population because they have the resources and it's not oil. The resources are the agriculture. 32 million head of livestock is the national herd, tons of land, abundant water. The current crisis is catastrophic, but it will end. I don't know if it's going to end in the current round of peace talks. I don't know if it'll be a protracted conflict. I have no idea how long it will take to come out of what they've had to come out of. But I do know that FAO is going to be there every step of the way. Even though, yes, we're often exhausted, there is much to every day to wake up and feel like whatever you can do, you just got to do on that day to help this young country.